Thank you. Okay, it's October 21st, 2022. It's 14:43 hours. This is Ward Green. That was Oscar Peterson. And the trio of Oscar Peterson with Niels Henning Ørsted Pedersen on bass, Martin Drew on drums. That song, that was Love Ballad. And if anyone wants to, they can go and find some Oscar Peterson online. Or some Niels Henning Ørsted Pedersen. For that matter, they're both remarkable individuals. I'm sure that Martin Drew is probably well known in his field also, but I don't know either him. I know neither him, nor did I know Niels Henning, although I've probably seen Niels before somewhere, with Oscar probably. I don't really know Martin Drew very well, but I neither do I really know Niels. I just know Oscar Peterson. Oscar Peterson, of course, is a Canadian jazz pianist. He was. So, look at that. I'm looking at Arc'teryx's website, actually, right there. Yeah, I was shopping. That reminds me, yesterday I bought the most expensive boots I've ever bought in my life. And I wanted to mention, you know, to tell Billy Ray, too, that I was thinking. I definitely considered Viberg for a brief moment. I was looking, but as soon as I saw their price, well, I almost ruled them out when I saw the price. But then I reconsidered, because when I was shopping for boots, I was... Let me turn the heat off. This is too hot. I was shopping for boots, and as I shopped for the boots, And I, first of all, I bought some. I want to talk about ASICs. First, I just mentioned ASICs for. It's not spelled ASIX. It's spelled ASICS. 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 They're a Japanese shoe company, and I own a pair of size 9. Something Cumulus 22s. What are they called? Let me search for this. I'll just look for ASICS. ASICS. I'll find it in my email. There it is. I bought them from SportCheck because I couldn't get it from Amazon for the decent price, the same price. I paid $160 before tax for these ASICS. Gel Cumulus 22. ASICS men's gel Cumulus 22 running shoes, and they're just phenomenal shoes. They're so lightweight, and these are shoes that are, I mean, ASICS shoes, including these, are worn by some of the top runners in the world. And ASICS is actually a small behemoth of a company. They're not really a small company, but they're small in a sense, I guess. But they're big in shoes, and they're enormous in the field of athletics and shoes. So that, I guess, is something I, in a way, I missed. Let me just see here. Let's just retransition here and resize my monitor. There we go. So I already own the ASICS size 9s, which I don't like to wear them because they're so fantastic. Such great shoes. I don't want to get them dirty. But now that I've got my foot powder in development, I think I'm going to be able to wear all my shoes. I'm not going to worry about, ruining them with getting them dirty by wearing them. The problem when your feet get dirty with the sweat and all of that, all the fungus and everything that grows inside the shoe that makes it smell, that ruins the shoe so quickly, really, if you're not aware of it. And I've used foot powder for years, and unfortunately I was taught incorrectly by my, I guess it was mainly my mother who taught me about, she used foot, or she believed in using some kind of foot powder, but it was chemical. It was like Dr. Scholl's, but it was always chemicals that was used back in those days. We didn't have organic. Maybe it's because of the internet nowadays, I'm not sure why, but we now have such a wide distribution of so many products that we can get organic foot powder, and it's the best natural product, it's the most phenomenal stuff. And I'm in the process of making my own now, or ordering the ingredients and getting them and making my own foot powder, and it's phenomenal because I haven't even had to wash my feet for days because the foot powder is so fantastic. I can just put foot powder on my feet. I'm wearing sandals, which is much easier to keep them from getting sweaty, but I couldn't do it without foot powder. It was impossible to keep the feet dry, to keep the sweat from accumulating, and therefore the bacteria from growing and all of that, the fungus or whatever, all the bacteria and fungus that grows when you have wet or sweaty feet. So I've learned a tremendous amount in just about 1 week about foot powder. And I was using the same foot powder for months and months, but I wasn't putting it on my feet. I was putting it on my socks or in my shoes, and that's not the same. It's not nearly as good. But I would never want to put chemicals on my feet. These are just beautiful, all natural organic foot powder. It's not an artificial chemical. It's not a man-made product. So I don't know how to feel yet, if I should feel excited. But I think I am very excited about this. So anyway, I can now, I'm not going to be worried about wearing, I could still put the foot powder in the shoes too, of course, and in the socks if you want, you can do, but you can put it on your feet, which is amazing because it's an organic product that you can actually touch your skin with it, and it's not going to be killing you. I mean, I mean, you have to watch and be careful to make sure that it's not causing any problem with your skin. You have to be like with anything. It's like with food. Just because food is natural food, that doesn't mean you can eat it and not be injured by it. You have to pay attention to what the food is doing. But natural food, organic food, is always going to be safer than any kind of chemical that you're going to take, including supplements. Although supplements, when they're naturally derived supplements, they're also, and when they're taken with food, they're going to be also relatively safe. But they're still toxic to some extent for most vitamins. Although, like I've been saying, vitamin K2 has zero known toxicity. But everything usually has a toxicity. So the other shoes I ordered, I was going to order, I wanted to get some shoes, okay? I realized the reason I wanted shoes is because I want to do welding and I can't do oh, and plasma cutting and I can't do plasma cutting and welding without protecting my feet. So what I had been doing is wearing older socks and old sandals and just, not worrying about it too much because I was working on top of my workbench. But with plasma cutting, if I'm going to have it's time. It's the right time to buy some proper shoes. So I wanted to order some shoes. So I went online, and I ended up buying. I was brand loyal to some extent, to the extent that I could possibly be brand loyal. What's this? Oh yeah. Well, that's okay. There we go. I'm looking for my order here. There we go. I ordered. Well, I don't want to jump the gun and tell you everything all at once, but I ordered because I don't want to spoil the gradual unfolding of this. But before I bought the most expensive boots that I bought ever, I bought. Let's see if I can get this. It popped up, fortunately, in the right window. But anyway. I bought, oh yeah, the first thing I did was I said, well, okay, I realized I have my old Merrells. I have Merrells. But my feet supinate. They don't pronate inward, they supinate outward. So the Merrells are worn out on the outside of the shoes, like, the shoes. I've got to try to make sure that you can see what I'm saying here. Yeah, my feet. They supinate, my legs supinate or my feet supinate, so that the outside of the shoes are in contact, and they get worn down, so that my shoes are worn down in that manner. But these are my old Merrells, and I thought I was going to throw them out because they had that kind of wear pattern on the where they're worn on the outsides of this edge of the boot. On both of the boots, they're worn down, right? That's just the way the heel pronates or supinates. And in my case, it's supination, and the Merrells are still perfectly fine. They're good boots. They're still fine. And actually, they had gotten some, odor, so I did a complete foot powder, extravaganza of a treatment on them, and they're actually, I think they're pretty well, they're not brand new anymore, but I think they're pretty well recovered now from the whatever odor problem they had from years ago. And so that was one of the reasons I stopped wearing them, of course, the odor. But then I still kept them around somewhere. They were in the basement somewhere, and then I brought them up, rehabilitated them, and I forgot I had them, but they're right in my boot rack. So I've got these Merrells, so they can be my welding boots. But I want, even if I were to wear those, I wanted to get some covers for them. So I went online. I didn't even know these existed, but you can get, there's about 50 companies that make welding chaps for boots, or they just to protect your boots from the welding spatter. So these I ordered, the first ones I looked at were the ones I ended up ordering. This is the way I also, I think of brand loyalty in this way too. If the first product I ever see, it is just as good as any other product that I see later on, then I will always stick with the first one because that's brand loyalty. That's the first one I saw. They're the first ones who presented themselves to me, or whom Jehovah presented to me, somehow through, whether you believe it's, see, I don't believe anything's random, but even if you did believe it was random, it was still the first one that came to me. But it's not random, because everything is put in place by intelligent people, in our world anyway, in the world of in civilization. It's all done by creative people, by intelligent people. Even if it's just their subconscious that's doing it, it's still done by intelligent people. Therefore, it's not random. So the thing is, the first one I saw was, you know, it's also, it has to be the best price, also, you know, or almost as good as the best price, right, as well. Because if it's this equal pricing, then why would I not stick with the, I mean, there's no reason not to be loyal. That's the whole idea behind brand loyalty. There's just no reason not to be loyal. So they were the first one I saw. They're going to have more, I'm going to have more affection for them than any other brand because I saw them first. That's more, I'm going to be more loyal to them than any other brand. But now if it turns out they don't make a good product and I find that out after I receive it, well, I can always switch brands, right? If I have to. But maybe I can also, sometimes you'll buy a product, it'll be defective, but you will be able to fix it in such a way that it's the best product you could ever have once it's been fixed. And you might be able to modify and fix whatever problem it has. But you, if you trust in Jehovah, if you have faith in Jehovah, you know, if you have any faith, even the smallest bit of faith, you will say, that happened for a reason. That product was the first one I saw for a reason. It was meant to be seen by me, and I was intended to know about it, and I was intended to use that information. So how are you going to use the information if you don't buy the product? It's logical to be loyal to that brand, especially if there's nothing better that you find after you see it. So I bought the first ones I saw, basically. The first ones that popped up in the search. But there were dozens of companies, it seems like dozens, of, maybe there aren't dozens, I think there probably are dozens of companies that make these things. These leather spats that you put over your boots, they wrap around your boots and they protect them. So I said to myself, I'm going to buy those. I'm ordering these. I ended up ordering those. But while I was ordering that, I found some Merrells. After a long search, I've been searching for Merrells hiking boots for years and years, and I ended up finding the Merrells the Moab 3. On sale, like an excellent price, $119 Canadian. That's insanely good for Merrells, for the hiking boots. So these are just, you know, they're nothing fancy. They're not leather hiking boots. You know, they're not solid leather. They have leather in them, probably. Let me just check, see if I can check this. See if I can open this up. They have some leather, right? But they're basically a fabric. Fabric and suede, or, you know, fabric and leather boot. It's just a shoe, really. A hiking boot. But it's a hiking boot. It's a serious shoe, like a really serious shoe. And all, you know, not all Merrells, I don't think, but some Merrells have Vibram soles. So ever since I bought my Asics, I've been aware of some of the things about shoes. You know, I all the research I did when I bought my Asics, I did a lot of research. Somehow I knew about Vibram soles, and Vibram soles are almost the best in the world. They were invented by somebody who lost some friends who, because they died, because they didn't have good enough shoes or something to do with the traction. So they developed the Vibram sole, which has improved traction. And that's how Vibram came about. So, and Vibram is extremely, they're well known, you know, they're extremely well known, and they're considered the best in the world. Danner is another company that makes boots. They exclusively use Vibram for their soles on their boots, and they're well known as, they're not as expensive generally as, they can be, as Viberg, but they're known, they got the top, they were the top rated work boot on in one review that I saw, on an independent review online, I saw that Danner was the top one. That was so when I shopped on Amazon, I looked through all the Danner boots. I looked, and eventually I found a Danner boot. It was a hiking boot that's full grain leather, which is better than suede because it's full thickness leather, full grain leather. And I had to research to find out what full grain leather was and what suede was compared to leather. And I didn't know any of these things. Even now, I didn't know. I didn't know till just now, till just yesterday that when I ordered these. So I finally ordered the Danner Mountain 600, I think they're called, hiking boots. And they're phenomenal. I believe they're phenomenal. Now, it's always a question of fit, okay? I ordered, with the Merrells, I order one size smaller because that's what I did with my old Merrells are eights, size eight, compared to nines for my new Asics. The Asics fit perfectly. The old Merrells fit perfectly. They're different sizes because the companies size things differently sometimes. Now, Merrells, I was told to buy the same size because they haven't changed their sizing, but that was... Someone told me that at some point. I think I knew that. But then I confirmed it yesterday after I had seen some reports. And this is after I ordered the Merrell shoes. I saw some reports that said that they come in too small. So when I get my Merrells to size 8s, they might be too small, possibly. But somewhere else online, they said Merrell hasn't changed their sizing, even though they're made in China now. So, it's a size 8 shoe. I don't know how I'm going to use the Merrells, but I have the Asics. They fit perfect. I can use them for anything athletic. If the Merrells are a little too tight, maybe they're good for something, like maybe they're good for cycling, right? Or something, because I currently all I have are my, what are they called? What are my shoes called? It starts with V, I think. Let me find out what my shoes are. My running shoes. Well, I've got more than one pair. I'm not sure if these have Vibram soles on them. Possible. No, I don't think so. The Wave Spring. These are Wave Spring. They're made by... They're not made by Wave Spring, surely. They were made in China. They're size 8s. And... Yeah, are they, is that the company, Wavespring? No, it's Spira. They're Spira. These are Spira shoes. Spira. Running shoes, and they have a Wavespring in them. They got some kind of a spring action in them that enables them to spring forward as you walk. It kind of facilitates walking. It's for athletic purposes. It's for the purpose of running and so on. They're actually Spira makes some pretty great shoes, I think. Really, they're not a small or they're not a minor kind of shoe company, I don't think. I think they're quite a good company. And these shoes, the idea of the spring was an athletic thing. It wasn't intended to be made for people who have foot problems. It's made just for they were expensive too. They were like $200 or something, I think, more than $200, which for us that was expensive. They're the most expensive running shoes I've ever bought, but they are too tight, really. They're almost too tight in the toes and everything, but they're great for riding my bike. Perfect for walking around at the store and riding my bike, but they're probably not good for running just because they're too tight. They might be, though, and they should be if they were the right size. But anyway, that's those ones. They're very old as well. I just don't wear them much. And then I've got North Face shoes, which are no good because they hurt my feet when I walk in them. They're really defective. One of them is defective. One of them has a defective. One of them had an issue where it sort of clicks when I bend the shoe as I walk, and it does something to it causes pain in one of my feet in the way that it clicks when I walk in it, which is unfortunate because they were beautiful shoes that had a mesh breathing. They breathed well. They were great for wearing in. They're still great for wearing, driving a car or something. You can wear them because they keep your feet cool, and it's just you can't walk any distance with them. But I don't even want to wear those. But I guess I could use those for welding too. But it's just no good to wear a shoe that hurts your foot. So I can't really wear those. But I mean, I have, you know, I've got some more sandals. But we're talking about shoes here. And the shoes, I don't have any other shoes, other than I've got my boots, which are just the over boots that go over the shoes. I've got no other shoes, I don't think. Well, I've got, you know, other than dress shoes. Dress shoes, yeah. I've got a couple pairs of dress shoes that are leather. But I haven't worn those for many years. Decades, maybe. Or, no, just many years. So, anyway, I don't have a lot of shoes, really. But I ended up, these Merrells, let me show you the Merrells. These are the ones I ordered. Yeah, I'm going to show you the Merrells. Why not? These are the Merrells that I ordered. So, yeah, these are the Moabs. $119. Amazing. Like, that price is incredible. I mean, depending where you buy these and what size, I was able to buy a size 8 for that price. The price can vary depending on the size, and it often does. And this is size 8. It's 119. Incredible. And look at the ratings. 127 ratings, 4.5 stars or something like 4.5 stars. But I read all the ratings too. I don't just look at the numbers for how good the ratings are. I go and read the rating. I read the reviews. I read the reviews. The sole material is rubber because it's Vibram. If you see here, this little orange bit, that says Vibram. So if I see more, maybe it'll say Vibram. It doesn't say Vibram. They're made in Vietnam, but further down it might say Vibram. But I know they're Vibram because I can see the Vibram logo on the side of the boot. And I know some of the Merrells do have Vibram. I shouldn't say I know they're Vibram. I believe they're Vibram because I researched them or whatever. Or maybe it says it here. Look at this. It shows the Vibram sole right there. That yellow sticker on the bottom is Vibram. That's Vibram right there. It says Vibram. So these are Moabs. They're hiking shoes. They're just beautiful. It's just a beautiful shoe for walking. That's really why I got it. It's not for running. But I've got the running shoes because I have the Asics, and I also have what did I say they were called? Spyra. The Spyra shoes, the wave spring, with the wave spring mechanism in them. It's kind of like a spring that's built into them, into the sole of the shoe, so that it springs forward as you walk. It doesn't add energy. It just gives you back the energy that you store in it from your weight being put on it. It springs back, so it's got this sort of potential energy storage devices in the spring that's built into it. And it gives it back in the form of kinetic energy. You know, it converts potential to kinetic energy and preserves the energy that you put in it by the weight of your body, you know, using the weight of your body. But the Moabs don't have the wave spring. They're just standard. So if you look at it, it's Moab 3 right here. I got the mids. I got the mid, which is the one that is slightly higher. It gives more ankle support. These are, by the way, I think these are waterproof. Nowadays it's impossible to get. My old Merrells had Gore-Tex. Now generally I don't even want Gore-Tex because they're too hot, right? So if I don't want it, but these are good for cold weather. They'll keep your feet warmer because they have Gore-Tex, which keeps an air seal more so. It doesn't breathe as much as not having Gore-Tex. So, I mean, Gore-Tex still breathes, but these, I believe, are Gore-Tex. If they're not, I'm happy. Breathable mesh, let's see. They're waterproof, it has a waterproof membrane, right? Whether it's Gore-Tex or what. And then the ratings are right here. I'm pretty sure everything has, almost everything does, but I'm pretty sure all the Merrells have Gore-Tex. I don't know how I knew that, but I researched this before when I was buying it, you know, and I couldn't get away from waterproof. But these just don't say waterproof at the top for some reason. Normally they say waterproof right in the name. That's usually what they always say. And we see pigskin leather. Oh, I like the pigskin leather, but then part of it's mesh. So these are not leather. They're not good enough to do welding with without protecting them, because the mesh would get damaged, even if the leather is good enough to protect you. But you don't really want to damage brand new shoes by welding spatter getting on them and burning them. It's just you could if they were all leather. That's my point. So It's got air cushioning. Merrill is well known as a shoe manufacturer. Vibram. Right. It's the TC5 Vibram. But Vibram make many different soles, but they make the best. They're rubber, too, which means they won't completely disintegrate and dissolve like the other rubber I had on my other boots. Two pairs of boots from different companies, both of which had the rubber on the soles disintegrate and just fall apart. I'm trying to think of the other words that we can use instead of disintegrate. Dissolve almost. It just in air, like just. So I like real rubber. I like high quality rubber on the soles. I mean, that's from now on. That's what I'll always look for, because I don't want boots that dissolve on me, that fall apart. So what is okay? Merrell, it says the Moab is the best selling hiker in the world. It's a very famous shoe, or boot, the Moab. They're saying it's the best selling, but it's at least very famous. We know that. I mean, everyone knows this, or a lot of people do. So buying the Moab is just another good shoe I can buy. And then if it fits, well, we'll see if it fits. And then it's potentially a good shoe that I can use for keeping my feet dry if I'm out in wet weather, too, is another thing. But does it even mention? Okay, I'm going to Google that. The Moab 3 of Gore-Tex. See, without going to Merrell's website, did they have Gore-Tex? Yeah, Moab 3 GTX, but mine are not GTX, are they? Well, wait a minute. I'm not sure. I don't want Gore-Tex. That's the other thing. I don't really want waterproofing, because I don't like to go out in the rain anyway. I'm not intending to use them in the rain. So, are Moab 3 waterproof? Oh, no, there it's saying, okay. There it's saying it's a waterproof membrane. It doesn't say it's Gore-Tex in this. I'm going to go to Merrell's website here for a moment, I think. It's called the Moab 3. I guess it's got to be the same one, because it's, but it's called Moab 3 waterproof. Yeah, okay, that's right. No, I don't have the waterproof. Yeah, look at here. Here it is. Look, here it is. I got the mid right here. I just remembered. Yeah, it says it right there. So, yeah, let me close that. Let's go back. Let's go back to somewhere dark for back. Yeah, it's right here. Look, the waterproofing is here. So I avoided waterproofing, because waterproofing is the WP on the screen there. So I don't have waterproofing in mine, because mine are this one. The Moab 3 mid is what I have. It's not, I know that because I had the Moab 3, I was going to buy that, and then I clicked on this one with the mid without the waterproofing, and that's when I ended up buying that one. So I know I didn't buy one of these two, which are waterproof. So I'm glad I didn't get waterproofing, because it just makes it hotter. You can't wear them in the summer because they're too hot, or your feet will get too sweaty. You know, it's just unnecessary, unless you're a hiker who hikes in rain and needs waterproofing, then of course it makes sense to get waterproofing. But it's very hard to not get waterproofing when you buy shoes nowadays. So I did a lot of shopping, and I did shopping long ago when I bought the Asics a couple of years ago or many months ago. When I bought the Asics, I did a lot of shopping that taught me all about what the waterproofing was all about. You know, all kinds of stuff about the waterproofing, which I did not want, but all... I was very well familiar with all of these aspects about hiking boots. I looked into hiking boots at that time. I knew all sorts of things about it. I shopped. I even saw the Moabs back then. They might not have even had the Moab 3 at that point. They might have just been Moab 2s at that point. I can't remember. But these are very high rated. Look at this. When you have 3% one star, and that's less or equal to the 2-star in terms of percentage, that's an excellent sign. In other words, very few people think they're lower than, even than 4-star. Very few people think they're lower than 4-star. I mean, these are very high rated shoes. 91% four or five stars combined, right? If you add those two numbers, 95% three, four, or five stars. It's, or 94% actually. 3, 1, 5. Yeah, but the numbers don't add up because they're partial. You know, 2.6 would be 3%, or, you know, 2, you know, whatever. 3.4 would be 3%, and that you end up with 101% when you add them all up. But that's because these numbers are rounded off. Anyway, that's the Merrells. And then I ended up buying the... Well, then I considered Weibergs, but they were out of my price range, I thought. But then when I started looking at Danners, I had to look a long time. Like, when I bought these Merrells, this was not easy. It's like the equivalent of 3 years of research to find a pair of Merrells that cost $119. I mean, that's an incredible achievement, to be honest, if someone's being honest here. The achievement of finding them for that price, Canadian dollars, Amazon.ca, that's incredible. That's unbelievable. It seriously is. That in itself is like, it's like, you know, the waters parting at the Red Sea to find that. That's what it's like. It's not, it shouldn't be underestimated. And then, look, I've even got something in my shopping cart. What have I got in my shopping cart? I don't know, but we'll go back to orders. I ordered these Danners. This is what I ordered. Danners Mountain 600 hiking boots, 4.5 inch high, full grain leather. And this price is the same in Canadian dollars as what Danner was selling some of their boots, their mountains. Let me see. Danner. I want to be sure that I get this right, if I can, but the Danner Mountain 600, if I go to their website, I did look at their website. I did get these prices. I do know what they cost. They have the full grain leather. Okay, $310. Mountain 600. They have full grain leather for $310, which is the U.S. That's U.S. dollars, I think. Or is it Canadian? No, it's Canadian. Yes, Canadian. Okay. That's what they're actually selling them for on their website, Canadian, or on the Global Danner website. Yeah, so they are normally, so it's not a great price cut. And I had to consider what size to get, because sometimes they recommended getting a half size smaller because they come in larger. But when you're getting hiking boots, your feet might be swollen after hiking, and you might want to have a size bigger, not smaller. So I ended up with 9s, which is the size that's... what did they recommend? They recommended 9s, actually, based on my shoe size for the ASICs. At the Danner website, you can actually put in, if you have any shoes at all that are currently available, you can find them in this big database that they have. At the Danner website, you go into the database, you find your shoes that you bought and you put in what size they are, and they'll tell you what size they recommend for their Danner boots. It's incredible. So they're recommending size 9 for these boots. So I ended up buying size 9. But for these particular Danner, they recommended size 9. But if you read the Danner information for this boot, this particular boot, they recommend getting a half size smaller than your normal size, because they size bigger. That's what I read. So I could have got 8.5s, but I ended up, I think, no, I'm not going to get, I read somewhere where one single person, even if you find one person who says, well, I ordered a half size smaller and it turned out it was too small and I had to get the bigger one. So if you find one person who gives you that kind of report, then you know, if you want to be sure that you're going to be able to wear them and not have to send them back, then you get the bigger size. So I ended up getting the bigger size. But the thing is, I didn't have any choices. Like, I had to get the black. It's the only one available in that size, and with the full grain leather. And if I want to get the 8.5s, I have to get a different color, which is the one in the middle here. It's brown suede with green laces, and it was suede, which is not full grain leather, so it's not as durable. So I could have got that, but it would have been less money too. It would have been 260 something or whatever it was. It was a great deal. It was a reasonable price because it's not as good of a boot, but it would have been a half size smaller. But those were my only two options. I looked through every Danner boot made practically on Amazon. Just I couldn't find anything. They're all sold out because they're such great boots. They're all sold out in the size 9s and everything. You know, it's very hard to get them. So anyway, that's the story. So I ordered these, the most, but with tax, $350. That's the most expensive boot I've ever bought, or shoe. Right? I'm going up. I still could get Vibergs because I don't have steel toes. These are not waterproof. They don't have Gore-Tex, which is what I wanted. They have Vibram soles. Incredible. All of the Danners have Vibram soles. And these are incredible. You can see the Vibram logo right on the side of it there. Yeah, but anyway, but you see, they say they have, we know they have Vibram soles. They're incredible boots. These are phenomenal boots. These are, there are people who say they're the best hiking boots they've ever owned and stuff. I mean, they're really good boots. But they're black. They could be used as a welding boot. If they get burnt, they're still going to be black, right? It's not going to be these are great welding boots is what I'm thinking. At some point in my life, they'll be perfect for welding. I won't want to use them for welding without covering them, protecting them, but they will protect my feet. They're not steel toes. I don't like steel toes because steel toes can, if something really heavy falls on your foot, like something really heavy with steel toes, like your car runs over your foot or whatever, the steel of the toe can cut your toes off. That's the thing about steel toes. It can sever your toes. So that's why I don't like steel toes, is because it's not as safe as people make it out to be. And that's the only reason I don't like them. I like them otherwise. It's just I don't like the potential hazard. So I may still get, I don't have, you can get carbon fiber toes. That's the other thing. Maybe we should get a toe that doesn't break, like it doesn't bend like steel, but that shatters when it's hit with a very large weight, a very heavy weight, a very big impact. Maybe it should just shatter, like, and maybe carbon fiber will shatter instead of bending. I'm trying to think. I need to research that, because you can get carbon fiber toes now, and composite toes. And I almost bought, I definitely thought about buying some of these shoes and boots, even the Danner ones. I was looking at composite toes, and I would have got a composite toe if I couldn't find another Danner, maybe. But I didn't need, no, that's not true. I wouldn't have bought a composite toe. It depends on the price. Depends on if I got a really inexpensive composite toe work boot by Danner, I might have bought it if it was my size, etc., etc., etc. But they didn't have anything in my size. That's the whole thing. And I wouldn't just stick with Danner because I'm not Danner loyal. I don't have any Danner loyalty up till now. So now, if I ever wear these Danners, I will have Danner loyalty, but I don't right now. So, I mean, potentially I'll have Danner loyalty if they're any good. But the thing is, if I couldn't find a Danner, I would have gone shopping more until I found another option, because there are many other companies that make boots, including Vibergs. And I still could get a Viberg work boot. The problem with the Vibergs that I have is I'm buying a $1,000 pair of boots. How do I know it's going to fit? And if it doesn't fit, what do I do? Or, you know, I mean, what if I can't find a size that fits me in the Viberg? What? I guess they break in. But for that kind of money, I just don't have a lot of people giving me rave reviews of Vibergs, I guess. That's the problem. I would have considered it more seriously if I knew that everybody knows and everybody says that Viberg always fit perfectly, you know. Then, of course, $1,000 is not a risk. It's just a good investment. But it's still maybe too much, because I don't need to spend $1,000. If I can get something for $300 that maybe lasts, but I almost have no doubt that these are going to last me the rest of my life because of the Vibram soles. Which probably, but we don't know. Maybe in China they're making Vibram now, and maybe the Vibram are not going to last long because the manufacturing is not good enough in China. We don't know. But Vibram the thing is, they've been the best in the industry, and I'm just going to take a risk on Vibram instead of on some other rubber. But if anything, natural rubber would be pretty good. It's just that they're making these. The reason why my other boots fell apart, the soles fell apart, is because they were some kind of synthetic material. That's not, no, Vibram are synthetic too, but they're rubber. They have rubber, and they're not. I don't know what the other synthetic rubbers were that I had. Maybe they had rubber too. But whatever was in them, they didn't last. So that's pretty long story. But I ended up ordering these boots, and then I ordered a welding apron or jacket that goes down to the floor nearly. And so I've got the boot covers. I've got new Moabs. I've got new Danners coming. All these things. These are the first shoes I've ordered or bought since I bought my. Since I bought my Asics, these are the first shoes I bought in possibly a long time. I bought sandals a while back, and I bought the ones that were on sale from two different companies. I think I might have bought them from Amazon, or maybe I bought them from Mac, Mountain Equipment Corporation in Ottawa. Well, I didn't go there and buy them. I bought them online. But Mountain Equipment Corporation has a store in Ottawa, and I know them from Ottawa, so I know who they are. But I need to get fleece pants still, and I need to get a watch strap, which I'm shopping for, yeah. Because this watch strap is not going to last long, because it's rubber that eventually just falls apart. But it's not urgent, but I need fleece pants, and that's not urgent either, but I'm shopping for those. But what I wanted to say in wrapping all this up, what I think I can say about shopping is it just, yesterday I wasn't feeling good. I felt great physically compared to the problems I've been having with my teeth. I was fine physically. I still have some problems with my teeth, but no pain right now at all, and it's good, right? But, I mean, I do have some problems physically because of the fact that there is pain there, latent pain, or there's nerve healing going on. But, I mean, I was physically good, but I didn't feel good in terms of, I didn't feel right about the way the future looked. And that, I didn't know why, but that, I believe it was because I needed to shop. I needed to get some things done so that once the shopping was done, I can then say, okay, I don't have to think about that. I was worried about my future. Once the shopping is done, the worries about the future just disappear. Because I now know that I've got some of the best shoes in the world. Like Moabs are some of the best in the world. Danners are some of the best in the world. These are the best in the world products that are coming. And if I got Vibergs, they would be the best in the world, I'm sure. But it's just that I'd be out $1,000 also, or a little more than $1,000 actually, to buy a pair of Vibergs. So I want to save a bit of money if I can. I don't want to buy the most expensive boots on the market either. I had no idea that Vibergs were $1,000. No idea at all. Billy Ray, I didn't know. I had no clue what the price was. Anyway, to the director, A Melody of David, Psalm 21. O Jehovah, in your strength the king rejoices. And in your salvation, how very joyful he wants to be. The desire of his heart you have given him, and the wish of his lips you have not withheld. Selah. For you proceeded to meet him with blessings of good, and to place on his head a crown of refined gold. Life he asked of you, you gave it to him, length of days to time indefinite, even forever. His glory is great in your salvation. Dignity and splendor you put upon him. For you constitute him highly blessed forever. You make him feel glad with the rejoicing at your face. For the king is trusting in Jehovah, even in the loving kindness of the Most High. He will not be caused to totter. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your own right hand will find those hating you. You will constitute them as a fiery furnace at the appointed time for your attention. Jehovah in his anger will swallow them up, and the fire will devour them. Their fruitage you will destroy from the very earth, and their offspring from the sons of men, for they have directed against you what is bad. They have thought out ideas that they are unable to carry out. For you will make them turn their backs in flight by your bowstrings that you make ready against their face. O, be exalted in your strength, O Jehovah. We will sing and make melody to your mightiness. Psalm 21. The king is trusting in Jehovah. It sounds like David is the king at this point. That's what it sounds like. So maybe he was also talking about himself as the king in the prior psalm. So, wasn't it 21? Psalm 20? Do save the king. Yes, yes, it is. It is. It's do save the king, Psalm 29. In 21, he talks about the king here too. It sounds like he's talking about himself again. So maybe he is king at this point. Because you gave life, everlasting life. You gave to him. You gave life to time indefinite to him. Everlasting life. So the idea of everlasting life is very clearly presented here in the Bible in Psalm 21 and 4. There it is. It's an idea that's in the Bible. You can't say it's not there if you see it right there. So it also talks about the enemies of Jehovah who do things, they think up ideas that they can't carry out. That's interesting, isn't it? And he'll make them turn their backs in flight and run away. Now sometimes when we are being attacked, there's nothing wrong with running away. It's a good strategy, in fact. In many cases, Jehovah will make his enemies run away, is what it says here. There's nothing wrong with running away. It's just that we're glad when the enemies of Jehovah turn their backs and are made to run away because of the fearsomeness of Jehovah, not because of us. We don't attack with physical weapons. We don't take physical action against the enemies of Jehovah, but Jehovah does take action. That's the idea there. And in verse 9, Jehovah will constitute them as a fiery furnace at the appointed time for his attention. And in his anger, in verse 9, he will swallow them up and the fire will devour them. Whereas, on the other hand, the king, Jehovah, Jehovah makes him, in verse 6, feel glad with the rejoicing at Jehovah's face. Let's go on and let's continue our study. We finished Song of Solomon, and what comes after that is Isaiah. And we've read some of it. Let's read chapter 1 of Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, that he visioned concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Jehovah himself has spoken. Sons I have brought up and raised, but they themselves have revolted against me. A bull well knows its buyer, and the ass the manger of its owner. Israel has not known. My own people have not behaved understandingly. Woe to the sinful nation, the people heavy with error, an evil-doing seed, ruinous sons. They have left Jehovah. They have treated the Holy One of Israel with disrespect. They have turned backwards. Where else will you be struck still more? In that you add more revolt. The whole head is in a sick condition, and the whole heart is feeble. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no sound spot in it. Wounds and bruises and fresh stripes, they have not been squeezed out or bound up, nor has there been a softening with oil. Your land is a desolation. Your cities are burned with fire. Your ground, right in front of you, strangers are eating it up, and the desolation is like an overthrow by strangers. and the daughter of Zion has been left remaining like a booth in a vineyard, like a lookout hut in a field of cucumbers, like a blockaded city. Unless Jehovah of armies himself had left remaining to us just a few survivors, we should have become just like Sodom. We should have resembled Gomorrah itself. Hear the word of Jehovah, you dictators of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Of what benefit to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Jehovah? I have had enough of whole burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of well-fed animals, and in the blood of young bulls and male lambs and he-goats. I have taken no delight. When you people keep coming in to see my face, who is it that has required this from your hand, to trample my courtyards? Stop bringing in any more valueless grain offerings. Incense, it is something detestable to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of a convention. I cannot put up with the use of uncanny power along with the solemn assembly. Your new moons and your festal seasons my soul has hated. To me they have become a burden. I have become tired of bearing them. And when you spread out your palms, I hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I am not listening. With bloodshed, your very hands have become filled. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the badness of your dealings from in front of my eyes. Cease to do bad. Learn to do good. Search for justice. Set right the oppressor. Render judgment for the fatherless boy. Plead the cause of the widow. Come now, you people, and let us set matters straight between us, says Jehovah. Though the sins of you people should prove to be as scarlet, they will be made white just like snow. Though they should be red like crimson cloth, they will become even like wool. If you people show willingness and do listen, the good of the land you will eat. But if you people refuse and are actually rebellious, with a sword you will be eaten up, for the very mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. Oh, how the faithful town has become a prostitute. She was full of justice, righteousness used to lodge in her, but now murderers. Your silver itself has become scummy dross. Your wheat beer is diluted with water. Your princes are stubborn and partners with thieves. Every one of them is a lover of a bribe and a chaser after gifts. For a fatherless boy they do not render judgment, and even the legal case of a widow does not get admittance to them. Therefore the utterance of the true Lord Jehovah of armies, the powerful one of Israel, is, Aha! I shall relieve myself of my adversaries, and I will avenge myself on my enemies, and I will turn back my hand upon you, and I shall smelt away your scummy dross as with lye, and I will remove all your waste products, and I will bring back again judges for you as at the first, and counselors for you as at the start. After this, you will be called City of Righteousness, Faithful Town, with justice, Zion herself will be redeemed, and those returning of her with righteousness, and the crash of revolters and that of sinful ones will be at the same time, and those leaving Jehovah will come to their finish, for they will be ashamed of the mighty trees that you people desired, and you will be abashed because of the gardens that you have chosen. For you will become like a big tree, the foliage of which is withering, and like a garden that has no water. And the vigorous man will certainly become tow, and the product of his activity a spark. And both of them will certainly go up in flames at the same time, with no one to do the extinguishing. That was Isaiah chapter 1. Quite a passionate chapter by Isaiah, where Jehovah is speaking about vengeance against his own people. That's something that we should be aware of. We're not immune to the possible attention that Jehovah could give to us, even as his people, if we do not behave in a way that is befitting the people of Jehovah, as described in part here through all the details that are given in this chapter. But if we're willing to listen in verse 19, then in verse 18, our sins will be made just like snow. They will be, even though they're just like scarlet, by being full of the scarlet symbolizing bloodshed, they will be made white just like snow, in the sense that they'll be washed clean. So our sins will be brought to nothing as long as we're listening in verse 19. And in other words, we hear the story, we hear the message about the ransom, is the way that we understand that as Christians, the ransom, and it washes away through the blood of the Lamb of Christ, Jesus being the Lamb of God, who was sent down to pay the sin of Adam. Through that bloodshed, all the other bloodshed is atoned for, providing we repent. The bloodshed that's talked about in verse 15, for example, with bloodshed your very hands have become filled. So we become guilty through our sins. If we're not paying attention to Jehovah, we become guilty of bloodshed. Other people are dying, and we're responsible if we don't do what we can to help these innocent ones, you know, to be saved from their destruction by whatever means. People could be dying of malnutrition or disease, or by being victims of war and all sorts of warfare, and, you know, or being attacked by violence in the streets for different, you know, by random, or not random, but I shouldn't say random, it's uncontrolled, you know, Satan influenced behavior that causes people to take action against their fellow citizens just by, you know, crime. The idea of crime in the city and things like that, where people are mugged, and I'm trying to think of the, it's been so long since I've thought about this. I never really talk about it, so I don't know the proper words. But, you know, gang violence, there's all sorts of violence in cities that we know about, right? But there's, but just random, I don't want to say random, because nothing's really random. We know it's not random, but by people, what do we call that? It's violence, right? But it's, if it's not random, what do we call it? It's undisciplined behavior, right, on the part of people who we call criminals. They become criminals because they don't, they're doing it for, because they love violence, either that, or because they're, you know, mugging people to get money, robbing people, which is what mugging refers to, getting, it's usually talking about taking people's money. That's what mugging is. So if you take, you know, it's common in big cities, like we think about people, it's always, people always mention, we think of New York, it's always mugged in New York is the kind of cliche, or it's the epitome of that. It's the classic example of where a person gets mugged would be New York, or maybe LA or someplace. I don't know about LA very much. We don't hear much about LA because LA's a lot further away. Pretty sure you probably can get mugged in LA though, but I don't know. We hear about New York, but in all the big cities, in any city, you can get attacked by people, whether they want to rob you or whatever. It can happen. Now, Canada has been blessed in many ways by not having crime to the same extent as some of the U.S. cities do. We've been quite I'm trying to think of another word other than blessed. Favored, I guess, by Jehovah, in that sense that we've had some benefits. But there's still crime in Canada. There's crime everywhere. But it's just the people who are not Christian who would carry out such acts, people who are not believing in peace, people who don't believe, you know, whether they get it from Christianity or whether they get it from some other teaching that comes from the same source of Jehovah that teaches peace, some source that teaches peace, that we don't resort to violence, you know, or we don't attack people, we don't. But Christianity is again kind of the classic case of this. You would hope it should be the classic. Yeah, Christianity is not the classic case of nonviolence, because we know Christianity is false. Christianity has fomented all the wars over the years, so many wars over the years, the Crusades and all, so many different things that have been fomented by false Christianity. So Christianity is not the only example of it's not only peacefulness that Christianity has been thought of as associated with. But that's because there are false Christians. It's because of the false Christianity that we have this notion. I think we've got to stop for today. Yeah, I think we better stop. I don't think. Yeah, there are false Christians. And in fact, false Christianity is an enormous part of the devil, of the devil's workings on earth. It's false Christianity, and that's very often overlooked, that people don't realize. Just like Jehovah's people, the Israelites, were false in their behavior. They were unfaithful to Jehovah in the way that it says in Isaiah chapter 1. It's described in Isaiah 1 how unfaithful the Israelites were. Classic example there, Isaiah chapter 1. So Jehovah's people are sometimes unfaithful, and in the case of false Christianity, which we call Christendom, Christendom as a whole, Christendom is this thing that's supposed to be Christian but really is not. But they adhere to some teachings of Christ, you know, they claim to anyway, but they don't really, because they don't suffer without violence. They don't remain lovers of peace in the situation where there's warfare. They end up, they promote warfare. They don't promote peace. That's the thing, right? Pursue peace, the convention was about. Well, false Christianity doesn't promote peace at all. They're the ones who are the chaplains during the world wars and so on. They're actually involved in the war, but they also, the leaders of these religions, the false Christian religions, are also promoting war. They're actually the drivers behind it. They're the ones who drive it. They instigate war, and that was seen throughout history. It's not just in the modern day, but typically they are the ones that actually, even in the modern day, they're involved in warfare. They don't stay away from it. They don't remain promoters of peace and preventers of war. They're not that at all. That's important. So I think we can end the study now, and we've started the book of Isaiah today. It's got 66 chapters, so it'll take us well into Psalms before we have to change books again, and who knows what we'll do after Isaiah. Jehovah might direct us as to what book to do, but let's thank Jehovah. Jehovah, thank you for this study in Jesus' name, and help us to absorb this information deeply where it can assist us in our pursuit of peace and in our experiencing of the forgiveness that you give, and in the joy that you can give to us and do give to us willingly, asking only that we be faithful and accepting of your marvelous, righteous principles. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I mean, Jesus and Jehovah can teach us a lot of things. And Jesus is in heaven, ruling. And whereas Jehovah has given him that position. Jehovah has put Jesus in that position. It's not like these false Christian religions who say that Jesus is God and God is Jesus and it's all a trinity, or it's a, you know, it's idea that, that Jesus is the same as God, Jehovah. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Jesus is the Son of God. He never was equal to God. He's never been claiming that. That's never been the situation. Whereas a lot of Christianity has this idea that Jesus is God, Jehovah. They don't even call him Jehovah. They just call him Jesus, as if he's God, which is makes very little sense when you hear them talk. And they also use the word Lord, which is, I mean, we can use the word Lord, but they don't use the word Jehovah, you know, at all. The name Jehovah. They use the word Lord. And Lord is... it's a perfectly valid word. We can use it to refer to Jesus or Jehovah, but it's not their name. It's just a title, Lord. And Jesus is king. He was put in as king, put in position as king by Jehovah, who's also king. They're both king. They're kings of a sense, right? But Jehovah appointed Jesus as king, so Jehovah gives the responsibility to Jesus to be king. That's that situation. They're both kings. Jehovah's the king too. I mean, he's the king that allowed and appointed. He allowed Jesus to be king by appointing him as king. They're both. So they're both. They can be called King of Kings, right? Either one of them. But Jehovah really is the ultimate king. He's the one really. He's the final arbiter of the... That's the concept of, you know, in the beginning, God created. And he created through this heavenly spirit creature who later came to earth as Jesus. But in the beginning, God created. And the word God is plural, the plural of excellence. There were two of them, because there was God and his Son together in heaven who created. So anyway... This is Ward Green. It's October 21st, 2022, 15:53 hours. And that's all for today. Once again, I love you. Have a fantastic, wonderful day. Yeah, try to enjoy life as much as you can, but uphold righteous principles. You know, stand firm and follow the exemplar, Jesus, as an example. So bye for now.